deemed it so and did the work to make it happen.
Who will write your story?
Oh, wow. Okay.
This is Show Your Work.
Good.
Come on. I needed to be your student.
I got it. I love you. I thought it was great.
Yes, maybe you can use that as the teaser.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Lainey. I am the founder and editor of LaineyGossip.com. I am a talk show host in Canada and also an entertainment reporter, and I am trying to write my way out.
Hi, I'm Duana Taha. I am a television writer and producer. And though one of my favorite lyrics is now not available because of certain evil politicians, I will both always and never be satisfied.
So in case you didn't get those hints, today we are focusing on Hamilton, but more on the behind-the-scenes achievement of the ensemble ahead of the show's premiere on Disney Plus this weekend.
These days, David Diggs, Leslie Odom Jr., Renee Elise Goldsberry, and many of the other original cast are household names. But what you may not know is that it's because they deemed it so and did the work to make it happen.
Who will write your story?
Oh, wow. Okay.
This is Show Your Work. Weirdly enough, I am also getting a phone call.
That's weird.
Stand by. Hello?
Hello. This call is from the Federal Investigation Department of...
Let's record this.
You that there is a legal case being filed under your name and an arrest warrant is being issued under your name as well.
Oh man, this is my favorite.
To get connected to you, so press one and get connected to a federal officer.
Duana, let's press one.
Okay, all right.
Hi, I just received an automated message that an arrest warrant has been issued for me.
Can I have your name?
Don't you know my name if you're calling me?
No, miss. I'm not calling you. Your call has been connected to my department.
Oh, no. It's my cell phone. Sorry?
Okay. Just time I verify your name and your some information so that I can grab your phone. Then I can explain to each and everything for the right person, right?
Why don't you just explain? What's happening?
Why don't you just explain what's happening to me? Because I don't understand why I received a phone call about an arrest warrant about me. I'm very concerned.
Because the reason of the call was to notify you that there are some legal enforcement action which you follow on your social insurance number and your identity. And that is the only reason we try to reach you before you face any legal trouble.
Okay. I don't think that I have any reason to be worried about an arrest warrant issued against me, but they hung up. So clearly they know that I'm not one of the easy targets, but this happens all the time.
I mean, it was a good try, but yeah, they need some work on their character development on the other end, I think. They got to be able to hang on for a little longer.
I love that you're still always relating this back to work.
Well, no, but I mean, I've seen a friend of ours go 20 minutes with one of these calls. And in fairness.
Really?
Yeah. And that person on the other end of that phone.
Ripped off now.
A little bit. The person on the other end of that phone, like, kept it up a little more. Like, yeah, you should be worried. Where clearly this dude, like, it's at the time of recording, it's 5:30 Eastern time in the afternoon. He was like, this is not worth it. It's the end of my day. I'll scam another day.
I'm so mad that someone's gone 20 minutes. Anyway, it makes me so happy to, I always take those calls now, because the thing is, the more time you take from them, the less time they have to scam somebody else.
Do you remember what it said on the, like, on the Identicall when it came up?
No.
The vast.
Oh, like you mean?
Yeah. Like
you mean like the area code?
Or something?
Yeah. It said that it's from local. I mean.
That's what it not- just popped up as? Local?
Like it said here. It's from Ontario, Dysart and others. What does that mean?
I have no idea. Most of mine, most of my spam calls come up with the prefix, the first three numbers of my phone number. Like I'll get a call from same three numbers, like same first three, and then blah, blah, whatever. But whatever that version of the scam is, that they're just going to call based on your own phone number. Although I have to tell you that over the weekend, I thought I was getting them, you know, when the geography report comes up. And so I'm getting this call from this random number from London, Ontario. I'm like, London, Ontario. I don't know anybody from London. Decline. And then it came up a minute later, London, Ontario. I'm like, no, go away. Anyway, 10 minutes later, it came up again from London, Ontario. So of course now I'm like, oh God, who do I know who is in a hospital in London and some like kind passerby is calling me? None of the above. It was my wonderful, runner delivery person, the alcohol delivery service that we use, calling from a phone that of course they might have activated, you know, in London or wherever, being like, they're out of what you wanted. Do you want something else? So sometimes I guess a random phone number is not actively a troll, but that's the exception that proves the rule.
Man, that's full service that your runner delivery person was like, hey, they're out of what you wanted. What are the, you know, alternatives? Because I've, you know, had the experience where if they're out of what I wanted, I just don't get it.
Yeah, I think it depends on what it is. Like if it was super obscure, maybe there isn't a substitute. But this was sort of a variant on the same product. You know, it was like the level up or the level down. So anyway. Yeah, respect to that person who's just a hardworking London, Ontario, home kid, just getting the work done.
Hey, so I have a story for you, and I know that it may bring you some pain because I had this experience and you didn't.
I mean, I we're not 12. I've had my period. I wear a bra. I've done the thing with a boy.
I had a shitty week last week, which, you know, I think that people who visit their website probably know what was going on. I went viral. But anyway, as shitty as my week was last week, I ended it on a very high note because ETalk assigned me to interview the cast, the original Broadway cast of Hamilton.
Uh-huh.
So,
like, there are some people, and not to discount your life or your experiences. I'm not trying to minimize. And yet there are some people who, if that happened, could not actually categorize their week as a shitty week because of that occurrence, you know?
Right. So it certainly ended in a great way. And this was last Friday, which was June 26th. And the junket started pretty late. Like I worked until 7 p.m. Not that I need you to pull out the violins for me, but obviously I know I can see your face. You are just like open mouthed and rolling your eyes. However, and I wanted to tell you about a couple of things that happened on the junket. I mean, you're going to see the footage on ETalk, but the way that the you know, we should explain to people that the way that the junket goes, and this was a large junket because it was, you know, the entire cast, right?
Right. Which means and that,
yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to further spell out for the cheap seats. this is a Zoom junket. So even the Correct. Most experienced people are only a couple months into doing these, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So it was most of the cast, I mean, all the heavy hitters. And so because there are so many members of the cast, there were five rooms. And I say rooms with quotes. Like if you were doing the real junket, you would have gone into physical hotel rooms and sat down. But I was in Zoom rooms one after the other. And you know how it is, right? Like I know you do, Anna, know, like you know how it is. But it's not typical that you go through the rooms and you like it's you end up getting to the biggest star last. It's random. It's however
Utterly
the schedule works.
Random. You can get the person you need to warm up to at 9 a.m. with no warm up.
Yep.
You can be waiting for 5 hours. Yes.
That's right. As it turned out, my final room was Lin-Manuel Miranda.
And Tommy Kail, or he had taken his leave by that point?
He, by that point, had taken his leave.
He's so got a baby at home. He's busy.
Correct. So I had about 7 minutes of one-on-one time with LMM. I'm sorry, Diana.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Who and you've called him before your Santa Claus, right?
That's
like,
right.
We've talked about this. Yeah.
Yeah. A friend of ours once said something about me having a crush on him. And I was like, no, 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 no. Like, that's not it. I think he's an attractive man and everything, but that's not what this is. It's about the bringer of magic.
Yes. So, and I think we've talked about this before. At junkets, a lot of times you're waiting. So you check in, they tell you to show up, even when it's virtually, they tell you to show up half an hour before. And then, you know, within 30 to 45 minutes, they call you to the first room that you're supposed to present yourself to. And after you're done with each room, you check in again with sort of headquarters, if you want. They call it hospitality, and they send you to the next room. So before you get into each room, whether it's virtual or actual, you wait outside. You either wait outside the door or you sit online and you wait for them to let you in.
So in super practical terms, what does that mean? Do you have 5 Zoom rooms open, or do you only get the code for room number 2 after you're finished number 1?
So after you're finished each room, you go back to the hospitality Zoom room, and then you're in there with a whole bunch of people, and then they'll call out, okay, Lainey, we are sending you to Leslie Odom Jr. and Renee now. And so they'll say, check your email, and you'll check your email, and then they'll send you a link to the next Zoom room, and you'll hit the link and you'll leave that hospitality Zoom room and you'll be put into a waiting room to talk to Leslie and Renee. Make sense? And Jasmine.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. Yeah, it's fascinating because you can't be added to the room too early lest you, I don't know, have abilities to record other outlets' conversations, like, you know, but they can't be in charge of who they click on because inevitably they will hang up on somebody. It is one of a million things. Like, I think the one thing I will say is that people have made astounding leaps in how we have adapted to what has to happen in coronavirus. And like, a junket is a bit of a logistical ballet anyhow. So to see it all happen on Zoom is pretty fascinating. You notice I'm steering the conversation away from your special moments and special times.
Well, I will continue anyway.
Because they may not matter to you, those other rooms, but they matter to me. Okay, Elaine? Those people matter just as much to me. They
matter to me, Duana, but not as much as you. I hear you, but they did matter to me.
They have as much to do with the magic, capital T, capital M. Anyway, please continue your tale.
Anyway, so I was, you know, it was getting late. So I think that the interviews were getting longer and I had a bit of a delay before being called into Lin-Manuel Miranda's room. And what happens is that when you have like a waiting room screen on the Zoom, it'll say you are waiting for Hamilton Junket number one room. Please be patient and we will let you in as soon as possible. It's just a white screen with that text on it. And then what happens is that when they let you in, that screen will disappear and you'll just be face to face with whoever you're talking to.
Right.
And then there's a person who says, who's not on camera because they have taken their video off and but they have audio still, and they will come to you and they will say, hi, can you please slate your name and your outlet, right? Slating your name and your outlet is just basically saying to camera, my name is X, I'm with this outlet. And then you're just supposed to launch into your first question. So typically that's what they do.
Right.
They remove the white screen and they say, hi, please slate. And that is your cue. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then they communicate with you through chat when they count you down. 3 minutes, 2 minutes, please wrap up. So as I'm waiting, I have the white screen in front of me, the you are being, you know, held and, you know, we apologize for the delay and you will let you in soon. I'm reading
How much did it resemble being in the waiting room to buy your Beyonce merch?
I don't know. It's not the same because I had no stress. Like, I knew that I was going to get in there. Like, with the Beyonce waiting room,
no,
you're like,
your
oh my God,
are
the
messed
size
up. That's
are
incorrect.
The size mediums done, gone, or whatever.
Right.
Okay? So I'm reading. I'm actually talking, like, the screen I'm using is the screen I'm using to talk to you right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have my elbows on the table, and I'm reading the book. I'm holding the book in front of my face. So if you come on the screen, the only thing you're going to see is two hands holding up a book.
Right.
You're not going to see my face.
I mean, that – okay, go on.
So that was, I guess, how I appeared to Lin-Manuel Miranda. I kept reading, so I couldn't see that the screen had disappeared and he was sitting there. And the first indication that I had that, oh, he was there, he's ready for me, is snickering. So I heard in my earphones that there was laughing. So I immediately was like, oh, and I was like, I'm so sorry. I was like, and this is where I feel like such a fucking idiot. I said to Lin-Manuel Miranda, were you waiting long? Which is, they don't ever have to wait for us. We wait for them.
Right, for sure. And I mean, look, I shouldn't be making you feel better because, again, this is an experience I would have killed for. But I would suspect that he was there long enough that to snicker because the – or giggle. Like a snicker to me sounds
yes.
evil. So I
– Yeah, no. He was giggling.
Or
yes.
chuckling or whatever. But what I'm getting at is that I think that he must have been there long enough that it wasn't a bit. Do you know what I mean? Like you – while we're podcasting – we're also FaceTiming and you did a visual demonstration for me of
yeah.
what it was you were doing. And if I were him and I appeared in a room, I might have thought that was a shtick, a motif, you know, that like, oh, I'll close this book and this will be our opening gambit. But clearly
right.
he must have seen you turn a page or something to
yeah.
know that you were legitimately reading and not just posing.
I was really into the book. And anyway, so I was like, I'm sorry, were you waiting long? And he was like, no. And then he said, which I will carry with me for life. He said, never apologize for being engrossed in a book. Duanna, I want to cry. Just like.
Well, what I immediately think of, like, he's not particularly known for profanity. But I immediately think of that John Waters quote, right? If you go home with somebody and you don't see any books, don't fuck them. Like, I feel like that would be his MO, LMM, even if he wouldn't use that language. Now, of course, though, now that you've made this story so public, the question becomes, are you going to plug the book? Like, what was important enough to not be waiting with bated breath for Lin-Manuel Miranda?
Well, he plugged the book at the end because at the end when we wrapped up and I was like, bye, thanks so much. And he was like, enjoy big summer.
So he clearly knew what book I was reading. He could see the cover, and he, you know, wanted to sort of round out the interview that way in such a cute way. But the book is Big Summer by Jennifer Weiner. And I was mesmerized by one section of it. Clearly, because I forgot that I was waiting for him. Anyway, the reason why I wanted to kick off the podcast with this story is because one of my questions for him, because I mean, I had 100 questions for him, as you know, because I've been trained by you. But one of my questions for him was about work, because there are 100 takeaways from Hamilton, 100 different themes.
Absolutely. And they are then reiterated. I'm not sure if you've watched Moana properly front to back, but there are 100 themes in Hamilton that are actually repeated in Moana that are likely to be repeated in the Heights, that are in the musical, but that I suspect will be reiterated in the film. Yeah, it's kind of his MO.
It is. And so I said to him, you know, I know that there are so many different themes from your masterpiece. The one theme that has always resonated with me is about how the work will save you. And I told him, work has saved me this week. And last week I had a tough week and the work did save me. And so I asked him about whether or not the work has been saving him, if he's been writing through it during COVID-19 and lockdown and the pandemic. And so you'll see the answer on eTalk. I don't want to get into it now. You know,
I'm
doing this to promote the show.
Well, I will say this. My favorite line from the mixtape, and look, yes, this is utterly, we're just fangirling here. And if I have no greater impact on this podcast and on this media enterprise as a whole, it is that I've created a situation in which we just fangirl over Hamilton. But uh-huh. My favorite line on the Hamilton mixtape, which, if you don't know, is like remixes and reimaginings of songs from the show, but also some that don't exist. And my favorite line is, I wrote my way out.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When the world turns mm-hmm. its back on you, you're up against the wall. I wrote my way out. And I have called on that one more often than I can count. Yeah. I'm a writer, but the idea being there's nothing you can do. Things can be shitty or not your fault or totally your fault or whatever. But the only thing you can do is do the thing you already do, like do the typing that changes your story. And I've always loved that. So what did he say?
Well, I needed that. And I told him that. And he said that he, you know, initially there was a period of adjustment. You know, he has kids, right? You've got to deal with your kids and all the things that they're experiencing over the last 3 months. And then, yeah, he did talk about the work, and he talked about how the work is coming to him in the sense that he just has deadlines that he can't ignore anyway.
Right.
That he has projects that are on the go that need his attention. And he was very gracious about it. He wasn't – what I appreciated about his answer was he didn't go straight to the scene and just reenact it and say, I'm writing my way out of COVID-19. Like, that would have been so
– No, but I buy that. You mean that he was like – he was able to be honest and be like, yeah, it's shit sometimes.
Yeah. 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 Anyway, I don't know that I could have envisioned a better interview with Lin-Manuel Miranda. I'm sorry, Duana. Even though I was like busted reading a book the first thing that he saw of me were my fingers, my hands, and like a book. But I couldn't wait to tell you the story.
Listen, my time will come and it will be beautiful. I some people fantasize about, you know, romantic situations. I fantasize about the time when I get seated next to him on a flight. Like, that day will come. What will I call up on my phone that he will find interesting and notice and speak to me about without me having to be like, hi, oh, you're familiar. It will happen.
I love that that's your fantasy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on.
But that is our segue to what we're talking about this week ahead of the Disney Plus premiere of Hamilton, which you wrote about this week, but there are so many Hamilton-related, work-related things that we can discuss ahead, getting people primed for July 3rd. Hopefully, everybody will be watching this weekend if you have your Disney Plus subscription ready on the go and ready to hit play on Friday. You recommended a particular focus that hasn't had the airtime lately, Hamilton related, about the production and the cast.
Well, yeah. First of all, the reason this is such a big deal, if you care about Hamilton or about musicals at all, is that what is airing on Disney Plus, which was originally shot to be like part of archival footage, basically, is the original Broadway cast in its entirety, with one exception from the ensemble, Wikipedia tells me. It was shot within weeks of all their historic Tony wins. Historic it was a giant sweep. I think they're out nominated or out won by one award. So that's a bit of hyperbole. And just moments before a huge swath of the Broadway cast, the original Broadway cast left. Like a lot of shows have big, huge impacts. And there are obviously movies and TV shows and things where the cast is considered to be part of the alchemy. But the reason this is so exciting is because for all the Hamilton tours going around or that were going around before COVID, this is the opportunity for everybody to see the original cast who created these roles. Those are the people that you were interviewing in the junket, even though there are people ably doing the roles now. And that the idea being that these guys as a unit created something that is more than the sum of its parts.
Right, both on stage and off.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. You know, you have to think about the fact that Hamilton, again, we talk about it like, oh my God, this is the story, but it's not so unusual for a Broadway show. They did months of off-Broadway work and previews at a place called the Public Theater before they moved to Broadway to the Richard Rogers, but essentially workshopped and created these characters out of thin cloth, which is true for any Broadway show. But this show, more than many, is a real ensemble. It doesn't work without all these different key players and key roles. I will never forget seeing it with you for the first time. And you were like, as if he let, spoiler, a woman have the last line in the show.
Ah. And that's it. Like, you know, we have, what happens is that we have so many pieces of entertainment where they're like, okay, let's make, you know, a woman the major character. And then what happens is that we run into issues of agency. And what happens is that in Hamilton, spoiler, Eliza is the one who finishes the work. And I, you know, without getting too about us, we went to New York for a weekend. We went to see it together. You lost your wallet. It was a whole thing. It was a whole trip, but it was one of the most memorable things that we've done together. And we've done a lot of memorable shit together because afterwards we had the time to like walk around the city. And as we do, talk about, like, get really granular about all the things that they were able to accomplish. And, you know, I think we must have had a 30 block conversation about the fact that Eliza was the one who, you know, what happens to Hamilton happens, and then she is the keeper of the legend. She is the one who goes out. There's a little bit of Camelot in here. There's a little bit of Jackie Kennedy.
Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah, there's lots of that. There's lots of what does it mean, yes, to carry a legacy you didn't necessarily ask for. Yeah. And you were so wrapped up in what you had just seen that you didn't even notice that we walked past Bernadette Peters on the street. that's how I know what kind of an experience it is and was.
Yes. So, listen, we could give you a primer. Like, again, this could be a 10-episode primer on what you're about to see if you haven't seen it yet on Friday, on the day that it premieres on Disney Plus. However, related to all the things that we have been talking about over the course of the last couple of years, and especially over the last few weeks, what Hamilton did, in addition to really representing, like actually representing, is they found a model, or at least they became one of the most famous examples of this model for how creators can benefit all together.
Well, yeah, I think what you are referring to is the fact that this cast is also notable because, like the Friends cast banded together to all be paid the same amount, lo, these many years ago, the original cast lobbied to include profit sharing and financial protections for further uses of Hamilton and like associated products, right? I'm not talking about getting a cut of the merch per se. I don't know the super specifics, but they are one of the few casts who will be counted in for profits on this film, on, you know, albums, etc., because they were so integral in creating these characters. And that's not very usual. That's not usual in general. You know that you've made it in TV and film when people start talking about points. How many points are you going to get? I.e., what is your profit going to be on the back end when this starts making money? But generally speaking, that's not given to performers, and it's especially not given to performers who are an ensemble. It might be given to one, given to a star. If you are a star who's also written the thing, yeah, you're going to do great. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about the rest of the cast of Renee Elise Goldsberry and Leslie Odom Jr. and Christopher Jackson and Daveed Diggs and so forth are all included in the profit sharing of Hamilton. And that is unusual, to say the least.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And again, we're linking all of our previous work together, but the thing that pops up in my mind is what we have constantly come back to, and it's a phrase that you cite that someone we have worked with in the past had dropped into you, and it's, it doesn't cost me anything. You know, if you're Lin-Manuel Miranda and you create this, and we all know the legends of him riding the train to Brooklyn and then leaving a dinner party because he wanted to like get some of his ideas down, and how it took 6 years to create this. For sure, he did lots of the writing. He read the book. He picked it up at an airport. But as you just said, when they were workshopping it at the Public Theater, everybody had their input. Everybody's DNA is embedded into this production. And so what did it cost him to share, to be part of this collective?
Well,
nothing.
No, I mean, you know, it's not the way things are done necessarily. But ultimately, it wasn't his decision to make. And I want to shout out to one of our listeners. Specifically, now I'm just, I'm stunting here. What do we call this? Vamping? While I find the email.
Yeah.
This is from Amara. Hi, Amara, who sent us not one, but two links to the conversation about profit sharing. Ultimately, the cast, 22 members of the cast, wrote a letter not to Lynn, but to Jeffrey Sellers, who was the lead producer. And we will provide a link because the entire letter is available through a Bloomberg link, which in turn Amara sent to us. But it reads in part, "Dear Jeffrey, we love you. We love Hamilton. The 1 million infinitesimal and distinctive decisions you've made in service of this property and its longevity, in service of your audience and its experience, are destined to be studied on the level of the material itself. Your work on this show is meticulous and impeccable, because I'm cutting as I go here. At its very best, it is life-affirming, mind-expanding theater." And then it goes on to say, "We are clear on this. We did not write the show. We didn't choreograph, direct, design, or produce it. We do, however, take great pride and comfort in the knowledge that our contribution was just as vital as the aforementioned in the creation of Hamilton, an American musical. That these performers," this is a multi-page letter signed by everybody we have mentioned who is not Lin-Manuel Miranda, in asking for profit sharing in having created this show. But the last line is really amazing. After having gone on and said, "This is all the work that we did. This is how important we think the show is," they echo what you just said, Elaine. They say, near the end of the letter, "There are no losers in a decision like this. Please invest in us as we have invested in you. Please allow us and our families to enjoy the fruits of our labors as yours will. We are a part of you. We stand together. We stand with you and for you and for this glorious work. We're on standby. We humbly ask for FaceTime or a written reply within 7 business days to confirm that we have been heard." This is an incredible piece of writing. And then the entire cast is listed. The leads are listed in alphabetical order. And then the ensemble is also listed in alphabetical order after that. This is spectacular. This is spectacular, spectacular work, right?
It's spectacular work. I don't want to take away from the courage it must have taken any time to band together and you make a request like this. It's scary.
Very scary.
So I know I want everybody to understand that, like, it's for the outsider who's reading this after the fact, your fist is up in the air. You're like, fuck yeah. In the moment, though, for the people involved, when they're drafting that letter, the moment they hit send, they're shitting themselves. And you have to appreciate that. You have to know that because, as you mentioned, Duana, it doesn't happen often. It is a scary thing to ask for, and you don't know what the reaction is. Obviously, the result ended up working for everyone because everybody appreciated that this is a win for everyone, but it's not always the case. People don't always get that.
No, especially when they're trying to break new ground. Look, theater is not a moneymaker. It is for producers if they have a hit, but God knows even prolific producers have way more flops than hits. And in fact, it's such a joke that that's what the producers, the entire plot of the musical, The Producers, is made on the fact that theater doesn't make money, right? So people in the theater, even you've heard this, Emmy-winning, Oscar-winning people go to theater and they make, I don't know what scale is these days, but it's something like $450 a week to do theater, with the understanding that that also is massive privilege to be able to take that kind of a pay cut and take that job, right? But there's not a precedent for this kind of a thing because that's not how theater works. That's not how Broadway works. So
that's right. So in the moment for them, it was terrifying. They were trailblazing. They were setting new ground. And so it is easy, again, I just want to repeat this, for us to look at this as a success story. But in order for more success stories like this to happen, these are the people who had to take the risk and had to be afraid. It will be less terrifying for ensembles in the future to make this request because the Hamilton cast did this. They did that. But for them, it was monumentally petrifying.
Well, and it's interesting that you say that because then the conversation becomes, the Bloomberg article includes a line about another cast wanted to have a similar conversation with their producers, and ultimately they didn't get to the point of getting the production up. And it is not something that I think people are going to give in on that easily. And that's not fair. Your participation should be remunerated properly, regardless of how the project does. But let's be honest, these guys had a slam dunk because of the massive success it already was, that Hamilton already was. This was all happening before they went to Broadway. They had a good leg to stand on. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But you know what? What is the reward? You know, if you are the person making the decision, you get this letter. Again, now it seems like a no-brainer. At the moment, for sure, it would have taken some consideration. There's risk involved. But then what you get is the 150% buy-in of all these people. They will show up for Hamilton when they are 60, 70, 80 years old. I just was at the junket, you know. It was the entire cast participating. Thomas Cale wasn't there, but I mean, we know why. Literally, like, a baby was just put into his arms. But everybody was there, and nobody was like, oh, I have to talk about something that I was doing 5 years ago, which, you know what, in Hollywood and from Broadway is kind of the attitude you get sometimes. These people talked about it like it was yesterday, that this is the thing that they were about to premiere, that it was the day before opening night. The way that they talked about it, the enthusiasm, the life that they had for it, the energy that they had for it, and I've done a lot of junkets, as have you, Duana. You don't often get this. On a Friday afternoon, let me tell you, it was like 6 p.m. Eastern.
Right. And I do think that those all point back to the same thing. I think that points to, they're excited for this. They're excited for people to find it. Look, let's not forget, you and I are massively, massively privileged to have been able to see the show. I've seen it twice, mm-hmm. not with the original cast, but I saw it twice on Broadway. That is utterly, completely, like over the top privilege. And I know that, and I was spoiled, and there's a lot of reasons why, and I'm very grateful. But this is, so many millions of people were affected by this show and this music, which all these people, which the Christopher Jacksons and Philippa Sues and David Diggses helped to create, but they haven't been able to connect with those people. I mean, this is what's different too about theater people, right? Theater is still the world where no matter how big you are, you're probably going to run into people at the stage door, and you know that, and you kind of like it. There's not a huge world now, people are going to email me, but there is a known thing of people leave a stage door, they sign some autographs because they know it's an emotional, dramatic experience for people. As opposed to certain film actors, and it's less and less these days, but people who we've heard of going, I don't really want to be recognized. I don't really want to talk to people. That people in theater know this is an emotional experience. And now they finally get to have that experience sent to all the people who couldn't go to New York, who didn't get tickets, whose, you know, tickets were affected by COVID or by weather or whatever else. Like I want to believe that it is a legitimate enthusiasm. Here's the other thing, though. Like, make no mistake, it also comes from being savvy business people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
The Los Angeles Times asked Leslie Odom Jr. About this process, about the profit sharing process. And they say, just before this was filmed, you helped make sure actors' contracts included profit sharing and financial protections for whatever this footage would become. Why did you speak up? And he replies, I'll say this. White supremacy is upheld by systems. And it seems like we're really understanding that for the first time in this country, along with the educational system, the medical system, and the police departments. Entertainment is one of those goddamn systems. We need to talk about racism and white supremacy in theater, and we need to talk about the money. This is about the economic ways that Black people and people of color and women are remunerated for our contributions. What is our ongoing relationship to the companies and institutions we help build with our time and our talents? Everybody should be at that table in the same way that everybody was at that table to create it. Everybody needs to be a part of the feeding when the food's being doled out. Here's what I love about that. And he goes on to say, you know, you want to be an ally, make sure that Black people and people of color and women are getting paid and that they'll be able to take money home to their families. It's not about revenge. It's about equality. But what I love about that, too, is that there is entertainment savvy in there, right? What was the biggest story about Hamilton when it first came into your consciousness?
The casting.
Right. Specifically
that it was only people of color.
Only people of color were being cast as the founding fathers of America, right? That all of these old white dudes were being played by people of color. And so that itself and those faces were the twist that made this show a genuine phenomenon. And so, you know, I don't know Jeffrey Sellers. I don't know how hard the fight was, but how can you say no to those people who you specifically hired to be the antithesis of the old white guy scenario, to say we're going to turn the whole thing on its ear and then go, oh, but no, but you're not worth the money, though, even though this is clearly a phenomenon that resonated with the country and the world. You have to. Mm-hmm. So it's also, as much as I agree with you that they must have been terrified, nauseated, whoever pressed send was quaking, at the same time, it's also a pretty good calculated risk, right?
It is. And yet, I think that generation upon generation of people will tell us that, like, doing the right thing and you knowing that doing the right thing doesn't make it any easier.
No, it doesn't make it any easier, but it makes it more right, I guess, is the thing. I think part of the reason that it is hard to break barriers sometimes is because people are in isolation, because they feel gaslighted, because they feel like their contributions are minimized. But the sort of reason this was all able to come together was the combination of an ensemble cast, all of whom could say, yes, we've all been here from the beginning. Yes, we're all people of color. Yes, we all contributed and crafted and created this show. Because, of course, like any Broadway show, lines are being corrected and changed and suggested on the fly because they were part of creating the staging and the character and everything else. That they had a pretty good argument is all I'm saying.
And look what happened.
Sometimes it goes the way it's supposed to. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And it going the way it's supposed to is, I mean, as I spoke to a few of them, they were like, listen, we are under no illusion that Hamilton solved anything. It didn't.
That's great. I mean, I'm glad that they phrased it that way.
Yeah. Having said that, they are an example. You know, it may be less scary and less daunting, maybe even by 0.5% for the next time someone has to do the same thing, that they had got to write. There's a roadmap at least for it.
Yeah. And if you need more of the roadmap, this Bloomberg article, I never think of Bloomberg as being juicy behind the scenes, like deliciousness, but guys, this is a roller coaster ride. There were counter offers. There were people saying, do not accept the counter offers. There was trying to divide and conquer. It's pretty dramatic. Pour a glass of something and enjoy the narrative here. Like, hats off to Bloomberg, which is not something I ever thought I'd say.
While you pour a glass and enjoy Hamilton on Disney Plus starting July 3rd.
I mean, we talked about this before, so I don't want to go into it again. But I am still, we are, as of this recording, literally 4 sleeps away. And I'm still not 100% sure how I'm going to do this for the first time. Like, you know, am I going to like watch people on Twitter react on the intermission? I know I'm going to have a proper 20-minute intermission, but then what? It feels wrong to go to the kitchen and get a snack. Then what?
I asked them that, actually. That was one of my questions. Like, you know, because, and we talked about this before, I was like, you know, when we watch at home, you can pause essentially at any time. And they were a little bit split. Some of them were like purists. They were like, no, don't get up out of your seat and do not hit pause until you have a built-in intermission. It is there for you. Others were like, listen, you enjoy it the way you want to enjoy it. It's yours.
Yeah. And look, I don't always consult you on parenting decisions in my life, but this is a big thing for me. Obviously, my child has been inducted 6 ways to Sunday already. But
indoctrinated is probably a better word.
Both apply. But, you know, what do you do? Do you show certain – he's only little, so is it certain numbers? You know, it would be a long seat for him to be in the theater, and he doesn't have all the context.
I know your kid. I think your kid can make it on the TV for 2.5 hours.
He might, but he also might be inclined at home in a way that he wouldn't in the middle of New York to get up and start dancing or like making up his own lyrics. And we're not there yet, kid. So these are serious considerations.
Anyway, that is your Hamilton primer. If you didn't already know, when you're watching this weekend, keep in mind what happened behind the scenes, you know, before it became the thing that we know it to be now. This is the courage that the people who made this show had to make the show. And this is why it's so special.
Yeah. And that it allowed for all the people to shine, that there are so many names we know besides that book lover, Lin-Manuel Miranda.
So until next week, something we want to ask of you. We have banked a really, really great email from somebody who needs advice about their work. So we want to make next week's episode about you and the advice that you need, specific questions that you have in your workspace, especially now, that you would like us to weigh in on. Send it to us at duana@laneygossip.com, at laney@laneygossip.com. We want to make next week's episode about you and us answering your work advice questions.
Obviously, we've been talking in the past few weeks about the socio-political issues that are going on. Send us your questions about how to be actively anti-racist at work, but also send us your questions about they just passed me over for the second time. Send us all the things, COVID or not, related to Black Lives Matter or not. We want to hear all of them. And yes, this is an excuse for me to audio play as Sasha from the What's Your Drama podcast. Wait till you guys hear the rhythms I've worked out.
Until then, subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Send us your notes. Send us your comments. Send us, again, your advice questions. And leave comments and reviews. We really appreciate it. And it helps other people find our podcast.
And you should know that it helps us, too. We have so many amazing emails. But in particular, Leslie, Sandy, thank you for the emails that you've sent recently. Thank you.
Work hard, show your work. We'll be back next week. Bye.
Bye.